Open your Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Last week, J.D. talked to us a little bit about setting goals and trying to achieve those goals. This is the time of the year, of course, New Year's, when people make New Year's resolutions or set goals for the coming year, whatever that might be. Today I want to talk about some goals that have already been set for us in the Scripture. We don't think necessarily as goals, but we certainly can regard them that way, and we will today. You remember that when Jesus was on trial, that Peter denied him three times during that trial. And in John chapter 21, after Jesus' resurrection, there was a conversation. Something happened between Jesus and Peter. And I want to read that this morning. John chapter 21, we'll start reading in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus gave Peter three opportunities to reaffirm his love because Peter had denied Jesus three times. Jesus still loved him in spite of that denial, and that's why they had this conversation. And then Jesus gave Peter a job to do, a specific job to do. And as I read that and thought about that this week, Jesus actually gave Peter some goals for the rest of his life. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And as I thought about that, I realized that God has set goals for every person, every living human being, every human being who has ever lived or ever will live. God has set goals for each of those people. And I wanted to look at those this morning. They are all summed up. All of the goals that Jesus has for every person are summed up in the last three words of verse 22. Follow thou me. So I got to thinking about what does it mean to follow Jesus? And if we were to decide to make it our New Year's resolution or our New Year's goal for 2017 to follow Jesus, what would that mean or what might that mean for each of us? So I want to look at that this morning. And first of all, I want us to consider what the goal to follow Jesus means for all people. God has a goal for all people, every person. Acts 17, verse 30 says, by the way, I'm going to use a lot of scripture this morning, so if you want to keep your bulletin handy and just write down these references, you might want to do that. Acts 17, 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The goal of God for every person is to repent. All men, everywhere, repent. Jesus told us what would happen if we don't repent. In Luke 13:3, he said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Sometimes when I read that verse, I think about, you know, there's a little cartoon you see occasionally or a little picture on the internet or something that you see occasionally, and it's a picture of a guy with one of those sandwich signs on, and you know, he's pretty scraggly looking usually, and sometimes he's wearing a robe, and sometimes he's got a big long beard and all that, and the sign says, "Repent or perish." And everybody kind of makes fun of him, and I think a lot of people, especially people who aren't Christians, sort of have the idea that God wants people to perish. That's sort of his goal. He sort of enjoys it. I'm going to punish you if you don't do this, and you know, repent or perish, and I hope you don't repent because I want you to perish. And that's not the truth. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." God's pleasure is when the wicked turns from their ways and lives. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? God takes no pleasure in the people that he has created perishing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So what does it mean to repent? To repent is to turn from one thing to something else. Repentance is not just confession of sin. I'm afraid sometimes we have sort of misled people, or maybe we've misunderstood it ourselves, and we think that repentance is confession of sin. It's more than that. It's confession of sin, and then it's leaving sin and turning to God. Repentance is turning from one thing to something else. I want to tell you something, Christians, or people who claim to be Christians, we need to get better at leaving sin. We have, I don't know what we've done. We've relaxed a little bit or something. We've got it in our, we've somehow got it in our heads that, you know, God is so gracious and loving. If I just ask him to forgive me, he will. And I'm going to go to heaven and I can do whatever I want to do for the rest of my life. And if I want to live in sin, I can live in sin. It's okay. I ask God to forgive me. Repentance is turning from one thing, in this case, turning from sin and turning to God. Genuine repentance will result in two things. First of all, it will result in God forgiving you of your sin, all of it. And then it will result in you and I living holy, righteous lives. Amen. That's what genuine repentance will do. So the first goal for everybody, for all people, for 2017 is to repent. Well, what if you've already done that? Or what if you're doing that right now? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, but right at this moment you're asking God to forgive you. You can do that and he will. So what happens after we repent? Well, that brings us to the goals that God has, what it means to follow Jesus for God's people. Now, I want to be careful here because this is being recorded and going out on the World Wide Web. I don't want any protesters out in front of the church. Not everybody is God's people. Not everybody is God's child. Now, I know we like to say that, don't we? Everybody's God's child. Everybody's God's children. Well, that's not true. Everybody is God's creation. But do you remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees who had rebelled against him and rejected him, and he called them the children of their father, the devil? Because they had disobeyed God, because they were living in rebellion against Jesus Christ, Jesus identified their father as the devil. They were children of the devil. Not everybody is a child of God. But when we repent of our sin and when we turn away from sin and to God, we become a child of God. We become God's people. So what does it mean for God's people to follow Jesus? Well, the Bible is full of commands or goals for the people of God. I couldn't go through them all. I don't know them all, but if I knew them all, it would take forever to do it. So you guys would get very bored before I was done. So I want to just mention a few this morning. I'm going to hit some highlights, okay? I'm going to start with some that are just sort of the basic goals. Basic goals for God's people. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Meditate on the word of God. That's why I put out the Bible reading schedules every year. It's just sort of a directive for us. I use it every year just so that I can read through the whole Bible in a year. Because one of the goals for Christians ought to be to read the Word of God. Study it. See what it says. Pray and ask God to help you understand what it says. Think about what it says. Meditate on it and then apply it to your lives. Study the Word of God. How about this one? Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Come to church. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how we complicate things? I've had people, I hope you weren't one of them, but if you were, please forgive me in advance, all right? I've had people tell me, say, well, I can't read the Bible. Well, why not? It's just words on a page. You know, you can read books from the library. You can read textbooks at school. You can read instructions when you buy things. You can read articles on the internet. You can read articles out of magazines. You can read the newspaper. Why can't you read the Bible? I know some of the words are difficult. I know some of it, if you've got a King James Version, I know sometimes it says shoe instead of show. And well, then buy a new King James Version. It takes all the shoes out and puts all the shows in. That's pretty simple. Well, Pastor, I can't come to church. Well, why not? Hey, you get up and go to work Monday through Friday. You go to the ball game. You go to the kids' programs at school. You go to the store. You go on vacation. You go everywhere else. Why can't you? I can't go to church. Why not? Do you not know the way? See, the Bible's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple goals for God's people for 2017. Read the Bible. Go to church. By the way, did you notice in that verse that it says that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another? Did you know it's encouraging when you come to church? It encourages other people. Doesn't it encourage you when other people come to church? I'm going to confess to you. Boy, JD, I don't know if I want you to record this one or not. It's too late, isn't it? It's already done. I'm going to confess to you that sometimes it's very discouraging for the pastor. You know, I work relatively hard on these sermons. I know it doesn't show. Sometimes it's discouraging to work and prepare and plan and pray and hardly anybody comes. Sometimes Sunday nights, there's not many people here. Sometimes Wednesday nights, there's not many people here. I'm going to tell you, for the last three or four Sundays, for the month of December, mostly, we've had about 30 to 40 people gone every single Sunday. Sometimes that gets a little discouraging. Because the Bible says when we come together to worship, it encourages, it exhorts us. It encourages each other. So, a goal for 2017, come to church. Hey, you got perfect attendance already. See? Don't mess it up. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The storehouse is the church. He refers to it as the storehouse and my house. So the Bible tells us, pay your tithes to the church. And then it promises, did you catch that? It promises that God will pour out a blessing on us. See, that's the idea of just overwhelming us with His blessing. Not necessarily money. That's not what the Bible says. But the blessings of God, the presence of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the provision of God, all those things. God will just pour them out on us. Amen. Now listen, those things are pretty simple, aren't they? Read the Bible, come to church, pay your tithes. At least they should be. After we repent, they should be fairly simple to do. Let's move on to some things that maybe are just a little bit more difficult. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I want you to notice that there are no qualifications to that goal. The Bible does not say Love them if they're pretty. Love them if they're rich. Love them if they love you. Love them if they can do something for you. Love them if they're nice people. The Bible just says, brethren, let us love one another. Simple. Just love each other. Sometimes that's a little difficult, but that's the command of God. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without ceasing. Oh, you think, well, Pastor, I can't pray all the time. Why not? When your mind is engaged, you can be in an attitude of prayer, right? You don't have to stop and bow your head and close your eyes to pray. Prayer is communion with God. We can do that mentally as we're driving down the road, whatever it is. You ladies like to brag about being multitaskers. Well, there you go. There's a task for you to multiply with. How about James 5:16? This makes it a little more difficult. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, we don't like to admit our faults. Nobody does. But the Bible says we need to. And then it says to pray one for another. That sometimes is difficult because, let's be honest, sometimes we want to pray about someone, not for them. But the Bible says, pray one for another. How about this? Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It gets a little harder, doesn't it? How about some evangelical goals? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I call that show and tell Christianity. Show them your life of dedication and service to God. Show others what it means to be a Christian, and then tell them about Jesus. Show and tell. I have people say, well, you know, nobody's paying attention to me. Let me tell you something. Somebody is watching you. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse is a Christian, but still they're watching your life. Maybe it's your children. Most certainly, if you have children at home, listen, mama and daddy, they are watching you. And they're watching to see if what you say matches what you do. So make sure that it does. Friends and family are watching you. Co-workers are watching you. Neighbors are watching you. There may be somebody that you don't are not even aware of that is watching your life. Show them what it means to be a Christian. And then tell people about Jesus. Oh, that gets tough, doesn't it? Isn't it funny? You know, we can talk about everything in the world with someone except Jesus Christ. That's what it seems like sometimes, doesn't it? We can talk about politics. We can talk about sports. We can talk about the weather. You know, we can talk about groceries. We can talk about our aches and our pains. We can talk about vacations. I mean, we can get very personal in some cases with folks and talk about everything. But when it comes to Jesus, oh, well, now, I don't want to force my religion on you. Well, listen, folks, let's start forcing it a little bit. They're forcing all their stuff on us, aren't they? They're forcing us to accept sin and degradation and immorality. How about let's turn the tables and let's start forcing Jesus Christ into the public square. Amen. Let's tell people about Jesus. That gets difficult. But we can do it if we'll try. There are a lot of goals for God's people in the Scripture. That's just touching the surface. And as we read His Bible, as we study His Word, we'll find more and more things, goals that God has for us. Let's do it. Let's at least make the effort to try, because if we'll make the effort to try, God will help us. God will enable us to obey Him if we'll just put forth the effort. I hate to hear a Christian say, well, I can't and then fill in the blank with something that God's told us to do. Because we can, by the power of God. The problem is, we won't. So maybe we should just be honest sometimes and say, well, I won't do that. I could. God would help me. God would enable me, but I won't. And then let's change the won't to the I will and do what God tells us to do. All right, that brings us to what it means to follow Jesus for you personally. That's what we all want to know, isn't it? What about me? What does God want me to do? Well, he wanted Braden to lead singing this morning, and I'm sure glad he did. First of all, I want you to know that all the goals, all the commands that are contained in Scripture, all the ones we've talked about, are for you personally. And sometimes we read the Bible and we think, boy, I sure wish old so-and-so was here to hear that because they really need to hear that, right? I think I'll write this verse down and just pop it in the mail, send a little card and just reference this verse for old brother Bob because he really needs to hear that verse. Everything in the Scripture, every command, every goal, every word of the Word of God is for you and for me personally. So that's the first thing to remember. But more specifically, there is a specific plan, a specific purpose for each person. God has gifted every one of you with some sort of gift, some talent, some ability, whatever you want to call it. And he has made a place in his service that will use that gift, that will use that ability for his work. He told Peter, he said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Now, we know that Jesus didn't mean literally feed sheep. He meant proclaim the gospel message to people, saved and unsaved alike, so that they can understand what God wants them to do and so that they can obey God. Peter did that. Spent the rest of his life feeding the sheep, proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was specific to Peter. Jesus got even more specific with Peter. In verse 18, I want you to listen to what he told Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. This is one of those verses that's hard to read. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. That was specific to Peter, telling Peter that he was going to die by crucifixion. He was going to follow the path that Jesus followed and be crucified. And history records that that's exactly what happened. Peter was crucified. He was crucified upside down because he said he was unworthy to die in the same manner that his Savior died. And so he requested and they crucified him upside down. But that was specific to Peter. So there's a specific plan, specific path that God has for you to follow. When he says, follow thou me, he means this is the path, this is the way, and it's specific to each and every individual. I sometimes will talk to people about their gifts or their abilities, their talents, and I've had people tell me, say, well, I don't have any gifts. And I'm going to tell you honestly, for a while I was one of those folks. I couldn't sing. I couldn't get up and stand up in front of people. Can you imagine that? Look at this. I have to do it every Sunday, three times a week. I had to lead two songs this morning. I don't have great gifts and abilities, but this was God's plan, God's path for me to follow. And he said, Kevin, follow thou me. And I said, okay. And I found some abilities and some gifts that I didn't know I had. The same is true for you. It may not be apparent right now what it is, but if you will follow Jesus, when the moment comes for you to use the gift that God has given you, it will be apparent. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And now listen, he shall direct thy paths. Trust God, follow God, and you will discover the gifts, the abilities, the talents, whatever you want to call it. You will discover what he has given you and how he wants you to use it specifically for you. That only comes when we follow Jesus. Now, Peter, bless his heart, was just like we are. Or we are just like Peter, however you want to look at it. And when Jesus told Peter, follow me, he got to looking around at the people around him. Don't we do that? And Peter said, well, now, Lord, what about John? What do you want John to do? I'm not sure why Peter asked that question. I don't know if he was concerned about John and wanted to make sure that John had a place in the service of God and wanted Jesus to be specific with him like he had been with Peter. I don't know if Peter was worried that he was going to be the only one that had to work. Right? Well, now listen, if you're going to make me do something, what about John? Make him do something. I think that might have been closer to what was going on. Because that's closer to what happens with us, isn't it? Oh, Lord, you want me to do this. Well, what about old so-and-so? How come they can't do it? Why don't they? What are they going to do? Now, listen, if I have to come and vacuum the carpet and clean the toilets, what's old brother so-and-so going to do? Well, if I have to witness to my neighbor, what about old sister so-and-so? What's she going to do? Well, we get concerned about other people and what they're going to do. We want to make sure we're not the only ones to work, to have something to do. I want you to listen to Jesus' answer to Peter and that question in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, because it applies to us today just as surely as it applied to Peter. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Would you allow me to paraphrase that? He said, Peter, if I want John to live until I return, it's none of your business. Follow thou me. That's what he said. It makes no difference what anybody else does, good or bad. It makes no difference what anybody else doesn't do. Jesus said, it's none of your business. Follow thou me. Would you stand with me this morning? Cheryl, would you come to the piano, please? Bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Here's my question for you this morning. In 2017, will you follow Jesus? Now, there may be some here this morning that in order to start following Jesus, you need to repent of your sin. Turn from sin to God. Would you do that this morning? For those who are here this morning and are Christians, following Jesus means obeying the Word of God and doing specifically what He asks us to do when He asks us to do it. Will you follow Jesus? Beginning today, will you follow Jesus? If you will make that decision, He will lead you to joy and peace and satisfaction, and He will lead you to eternal life in heaven. If you don't follow Jesus, Satan will lead you to eternal damnation in hell. If you have a need this morning, you come while Sheriff plays.